we glad that love found a way when there was no other way. Well, glad to see you here today. I think our numbers are probably increased some from last week. That's encouraging. I think God's answering prayers. The thought today is we're talking about, some days they're just kind of blah, right? I mean, they just are. Every day, there are some people that you're just absolutely amazed at. They're just always up. They're always beaming. They're always excited. And those are nice people to be around. But most of us aren't like that, are we? We got our up days. We got our down days. There's days where you hear the alarm go off. And you just want to hit snooze. No, you just want to turn it off. Turn it off and lay back down. That happen? Okay, sometimes in life you're just not free to do that and you just got to get up anyway. That's not a bad thing. So there are days like that. Let's face it, there are some people that's life for them. That's always been that way. And let me just say as a side note, because it's not the topic of this conversation today, but there is value in getting up early in the morning. There's value in meeting our Lord in the morning. He treasures that. He values that. He blesses that. There is reason to rise early and spend time with our Lord. So if you're just kind of, you just never got past that because of habits of life, that's a separate issue. What we're dealing with today is more of a temporary state, if you will. And a temporary state meaning it could be health. I'll tell you, boy, when you get sick, you're down. It's hard to be excited. It's hard to be up. This thing going around right now just has these very interesting symptoms that just leaves you kind of blah, just leaves you no energy, no effort, and you just want to keep taking naps or something. And so I get that. There are times where there are health issues that cause us to lose all drive. I mean, we have no spiritual drive, emotional drive, physical drive. It's like we're just effortless. And there are some times where there's some health issues that need to be dealt with. This is not a medical conversation, so I'm not going to go there right now. But I recognize that there are health things that would cause us to get there. All right? By the way, our God is our healer, so he's still the same answer. We just won't talk about health today. Sometimes, though, we're just kind of in this mode of we're just so down spiritually. It's like we don't have any purpose. We're kind of listless, if you will. We're feeling unproductive. We're not getting things done, and yet we just can't get over the hump, if you will. We can't just get ourselves motivated to do what needs to be done. A lot of things could be the cause of it. Life happens. There's deaths in the family. You know, that's hard. There's grieving that has to go on and go past. So we can find ourselves in a danger spot, if you will. I say dangerous because when we're down like that, Satan just steps right in. He steps in, gets his foot in the door. He starts, number of things. He all kind of lies. Number one, you're worthless. You're pitiful. I can't believe you can't get yourself up and get going. I mean, you're never going to make it. You're going to be down forever. Forever is a long time, by the way. But Satan tells us lies like that. A lot of lies. He'll tell us that it's all our fault. He'll tell us that if you're only a good Christian, I mean, you would be up there getting the work done. If you're only a good mom, a good dad, if you were just doing what you ought to be doing. So, one, we deal with the lies. It gets very dangerous when we're down. Then we also can be self-destructive. Because if you have no energy and drive to do what you ought to be doing, then you fill your time with the things you ought not to be doing. Maybe it's just clicking TV, station after station, hour after hour, no value, destructive. Or you're listening to things that you don't need to be listening to. Talk radio, talk shows, all kinds of things. Or you're reading, you're just wasting time. So that's aimless. And depending on how bad you are and if there's a physical things incorporated in this, you can also go start going down diet-wise, sitting around eating your sweets or your chips or all the stuff that you know you're just kind of tearing you down, destroying you. Are you getting discouraged? You know what we often call that when we get in this mode? The doldrums. Familiar with the term, the doldrums, D-O-L-D-R-U-M-S? Well, it's a nautical term, People use it, will often use the same term for the feeling I've just described, but the doldrums, there's a region around the equator. So think back into the times of sailing ships. There's region around the equator where the trade winds can essentially offset themselves, and it's totally calm. There's no wind for miles and miles and miles around. So here you are in this sailing ship, and your ship comes into these waters, and you got enough momentum to keep you pushing into the waters, but the sails start flapping a little bit, and then they just kind of droop. And you're a sailor that goes, oh no. Because without sails, without wind in your sails, you go nowhere. There are many stories of our history where people have been out there in these sailing ships and sailors get stuck in the doldrums. Well, it's just a matter of time, because when the provisions run out and the wind hasn't picked up, you die. It's a very, very dangerous place to be. I believe that this doldrums that we just described is just as dangerous. If you don't get wind in your sails, you either self-destruct or you get destroyed by the enemy. It's a very dangerous place to be. So let's talk about that today. If you want a title for the message, it's Escaping the Doldrums. Escaping the Doldrums, because it is something you need to escape from, and we need help to do that. So as we look at that, we're going to look at two passages. Well, we're going to look at a number of scriptures, but let's start with the book of Acts. If you go to Acts 16, and this is kind of a launching point to get the picture here that we want to see. In Acts 16, of course, this is this is Paul the Apostle traveling on the missionary journeys, as we often refer to it. He's getting out there, sharing the gospel with the world, all who will listen, establishing churches everywhere he goes, and leaving behind churches that can function and that continue to reach out and reach the world for Christ. Okay? So here's the life of Paul. And so this picks us up in the middle of a journey. If we just start in verse 4, we're looking at the process of the journey. Not so much the details of where he was, but the process. So in verse 4, we read, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." What was leading and guiding Paul and his company of folks? Multiple times, it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, was leading them. Back in chapter 13, we see that they were serving the Lord in the church at Antioch. They were doing the work of the ministry and in prayer and fasting, and the Holy Spirit set them apart and said, "Send out Paul and Barnabas." All right? And so the Holy Spirit sent them out to the field. The Holy Spirit was guiding them every step of the way. You can go here, you can't go here. You can go here, you can't go here. Oh, by the way, you need to go to Macedonia. Aha! We get to go to Macedonia. So they go to Macedonia, preach the gospel, establish churches, and we have a lot of epistles to the churches there in Macedonia. All right, so the Holy Spirit was leading them, guiding where they went. Keep that thought. Now let's jump over to chapter 27 in the book of Acts. We'll read down through verse 15, but again, we're looking at the process, if you will. "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band, and entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. All right, as the story continues, they're caught in a storm. They end up being shipwrecked. The ship smashed to pieces in the surf, and they all get ashore safely because Paul believed God. And so they all got to shore safely on the island of Melita. And what happened there? Well, it seemed like it was disastrous. You know, Paul got bit by a venomous snake, but he shook it off. No harm came to him, and so instead it opened up a door for the gospel, and the gospel was preached, and people were saved there in Melita. Now, that's not our message. The message is, what was going on here? As they went from place to place, what was controlling when how this ship could get from one place to another? The wind. The wind in the sails of the ship. Remember, these were sailing ships. They had no motors. These weren't the big oar type ships. These were sailing ships. And if the wind doesn't help you get there, you don't go. So the wind in the sails was very, very important. All right, so for today's message, I'll make reference to the leading and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit using the picture of winds in our sails. All right, I brought a little word picture here. This is a nice little gift that I got somewhere through the years in my Navy days. And there's a little saying on it, says, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Again, that's not our message either, but it's on the plaque. So I put it there in case you're trying to read it. So it says, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Well, actually, that is very fitting for what we're talking about, is it not? Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit being our leading and our guiding and our empowerment. And we're using the word picture of the wind. And we have many examples of that throughout the scripture, of the wind in the sailing ships, and that's what keeps it going. So as we think about escaping the doldrums, you're going, what's this got to do with the doldrums? If we're talking about escaping the doldrums, then the only way to get out of that area is for the wind to start blowing. There's no Coast Guard to come rescue you. You need wind. Wind is the only thing that's going to get you out of the doldrums. Now, you might say for those sailors who were stuck in the doldrums, there's really no hope. And from all human perspective, there really wasn't. Now, of course, if they were believing sailors and they trusted in God and they cried out to Almighty God who controls the winds, there's absolutely hope. And there's every reason they could have hope and be delivered. But again, we're talking about hundreds of miles to God out in the middle of the ocean is nothing. He can hear your prayer no matter where we're at. Well, that's part of the message too. When you're stuck in the doldrums, you might feel like there's absolutely nobody else in the world who cares, who knows your problem. You may feel that you're out in the middle of the big wide ocean and nobody can help you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cry unto the Lord. He can hear you, He will hear you, and He will answer prayer. He will deliver His saints, okay? So that's one takeaway here is if you're stuck in the doldrums, you can start crying out to God. Cry out to God, and He will answer. We learn things like in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's a promise. It's a thing that we know we can count on. It's a confidence that we have that our Lord does care for us no matter what's happening. Now, in light of this, the Holy Spirit being pictured here with the wind, do you recall what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? It says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's the picture of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of those people to put wind in their sails. The church, Jesus promised that He would come, but they needed wind in their sails. They needed to be empowered to move forward. And the way they were empowered is the Holy Spirit was sent to empower them, and poof. So in this case, it even came as a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And it's hard to imagine what that must have been like. And there's the Holy Spirit, and they just get empowered, and they go forth. And I believe on that day, there were 3,000 souls saved. Later, there was 5,000 souls saved. And it was amazing what happened, because they had this power now of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is sent to us. He leads us and guides us as we walk with our Lord. He gifts the church. He gifts the people of the church so that they can do the work of the ministry. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. So if you need wind in your sails to get out of your doldrums, then I would say the Holy Spirit is a great wind. It is the wind that you need in your sails. So where does He come from? How do you get hold of it? There's folks who have longed to know that answer. There's a lot of folks who have looked and they're all the wrong places. So where does He come from? It's been taught here often. When we are saved, when we are born again, by believing the Lord Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are now filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He comes and dwells within us. So God, the person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, now indwells a believer. For what reason? To empower us, to give us strength, to give us guidance, to give us comfort. He does all these things for us. And so that's where He comes from. He comes from God. He is God. He is the person of the Godhood who dwells within us. All right? So as we look on thoughts about escaping the doldrums, the Holy Spirit is empowered by our continued relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts, and that's where it continues as we walk with our Lord. I'm not going to do a study on John 15 today, but you're probably familiar with the John 15 talking about abiding with Christ. Now the picture there is the vine and the branches, and that as long as we're abiding in Christ, then we have all the energy, all the strength, all the drive, all the motivation, all the life we need by abiding in Christ. And so that comes through in the power of the Holy Spirit. The chapter continues on, and it teaches us about the Comforter. You know, Jesus teaches them about being attached to the vine. So you have to keep this relationship with Him, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then as we have our relationship with Jesus Christ, now we are empowered by the Holy Spirit who works in us. He comforts us. He says that the Holy Spirit will come to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's going to guide us all in all truth. There's just several verses there if you need to go back and read John 15 and 16 teaching us about the work of the Holy Spirit. It says in chapter 16, "Who will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." So the Holy Spirit is not the focus. The Holy Spirit is a result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important to keep that focus proper in the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, and then let the Holy Spirit do His work through us. So as the winds in the sail were used by the Holy Spirit to empower and direct the ministry of Paul, so will the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives empower and direct us as we pursue our abiding relationship with Christ. Make sense? So sometimes we're in the doldrums because our walk with the Lord is not, or it needs to be revitalized. Revitalized, vital, life. It needs some new life. You know, our walk with the Lord. Is it because the Lord moved? Is it because He went away? No, not at all. The Lord doesn't go anywhere. He's there. He is solid. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're the ones that move. whether we drift into sin, where we just need to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps we're in sin against another person, and we need to go and resolve that and restore our relationship with a person so that now we can restore our relationship with our Father. There's things that we need to do. There's things that we already know. Sometimes it's just do what you're supposed to do. Just do it, right? Here's my picture. We're talking about these big ships, right? Out there with sails. Well, sometimes our ship is pretty small, and you just need to start rowing. Just put the oars in the water and start rowing. Sometimes it really is that simple. Just do the next thing right. Get up. Stop hitting the alarm. Just get up. Go grab your Bible. Open it up and say, Lord, I don't want to be here. But I do want to be here. I just have a bad attitude. Can you change my attitude? Can you open up your word to me? Can you show me the things you want me to understand today? And even in the midst of admitting that to the Lord, even in the midst of calling out to Him, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wonderful and beautiful things out of thy law. Even in that process of doing that, now it's all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just goes, ah, thanks for coming. Ready? And then you just dive into the Word. And then He just starts opening up the Word to you. And I think there's so many days that I feel like that. You know, it's like I may not have this wonderful, excited attitude of like, all right, I get to go meet with the Lord. I mean, I would love to be like that. There are days that are just I'm looking forward to it and it's great, but that's not every day. But boy, it's hard to find a day with it once you get there. Once you start opening up the Word and serious with the Lord, asking Him, deal with sin, get that out of the way, okay? You got to get the sin out of the way. Sin is a great hindrance to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He can't work. That's called grieving Him. It's called quenching Him. It's like taking the sails down and asking God to move your ship. It doesn't work. You got to hoist the sails. You got to get them up there. You got to have them, you know, stretched taut. You know, you got to get turned in the right way. So you got to have wind in your sails. So, sometimes we just got to put the oars in the water and get going, all right? And the shore's not so far away. It's just a little short ways. Get the oar in the water, boom, you're off and you're running for your day. And then just praising the Lord, being continuous in prayer throughout the day and asking Him to fill you and move you, and it's a great thing. But when we're talking about the doldrums, it's often not that easy because you're stuck. It's hard to move. You need help. You need some wind. And it's very, very hard to create much wind on your own. I mean, you can grab a bulletin or something and you can flap your paper. That's not going to move you. Sorry. It needs more than that. Just a thought about wind and doldrums. The natural world, God is in control of the natural world. I get it that sometimes God allows Satan to rule some things on this earth. It's the prince of the power of the air. He allows him to control some winds. But ultimately, God's in control for a believer's life. If God didn't bring it, sometimes I think He brings storms, by the way. Storms have a lot of wind, and they will move you. Sometimes God wants you to be moved, and sometimes you just need a storm. Now, we may not like the storm. We may be fearful in the midst of the storm, but God uses storms. Did He not use it on the Sea of Galilee to teach a powerful lesson to trust Him? Did He not use the storm to put Paul on the island of Melita? Did Paul need Melita? I don't think so, but those people on the island sure did. They needed to hear the gospel. So can you not praise the Lord for a storm? In the midst of a storm, the wind's moving. It's keeping you moving. That's what you want. You don't want to be in the doldrums. So praise God for storms. He'll get you through the storms. You cry out to Him in the midst of the storm. You cry out to Him in the doldrums. You cry out to God all the time because we have no power, no strength to do anything in and of ourselves. Right? So we need our Lord to do all that for us. All right, so where are we? I don't want to be stuck in this doldrums much longer, so let's get out of them. Just a thought about momentum. Remember learning how to ride a bicycle? You don't stay up very long if you're not moving. You got to be moving. The Lord needs us to be moving, and He can direct our sail. Just move. Sometimes we're not sure exactly where to go. start here, okay? Grab your Bible and start here and let him start leading you. And sometimes it's just go and be busy about your day. And so let the Lord move while you have momentum going. All right, so we need to find the power. We need the wind in our sails. We know this Holy Spirit is the one who puts that wind in our sails, if you will. And so let's talk specifically about the Holy Spirit for a moment. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? It came from God as we're saved. As we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have verses that say, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we need to continue to go back and empty ourselves before the throne of God. Empty meaning, let's get all this junk out of the way, get the sin out of the way, and then get all the selfishness out of the way, get all the pride out of the way, and say, Lord, I am your vessel. Because sometimes we've got this big anchor hanging here and asking God to move us. It's like, why don't you let go of your anchor? Except the anchor of Christ. That's a different analogy. All right? So we want to be moved. So we have the Holy Spirit present with us. We got that if we're saved. If we're not saved, then the first thing you need to do is you need to realize that you have broken God's law. He has established a law that is set for all time and eternity. And when we have broken that law, we've lied, we've cheated, we've stolen, we've committed adultery, we've dishonored our parents, we covet things that don't belong to us, and on, we've broken God's law. We're sinful, wicked people. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We confess that. We acknowledge to God that we are sinful, wicked people. We need God. And so once we do that, now we say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that he came to be my Savior. I believe that he rose from the dead and gave him power and victory over sin and death. I believe, Lord, save me. So when we come to Christ believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when we get to that point and we're saved, now we do have the Holy Spirit in our lives. All right, so now for the Holy Spirit to put wind in our sails, we can't grieve him, Ephesians 4:30, or quench him, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Wet sails don't do as well as dry sails. So when you're tossing water on the fire, you know, another picture of the Holy Spirit is a fire, and when you're dumping water on him constantly, trying to quench him, it's not that we have power over the Holy Spirit, but he does not push us if we refuse. It's amazing when you have the greatest power in all that exists, all the universe, all that we can know, and yet, if we're unwilling, he's not going to push us. He'll encourage, he'll exhort, he'll bring everything, he'll do everything, but he's not going to force us to obey. Okay, so we don't want to quench him, don't want to grieve him, so get rid of sin, get rid of the roadblocks, and now, purpose to be where the wind blows. If sailors know that there's this region out there, and if you drop below a certain latitude, and you know that it's very likely you could get into the doldrums, stay away. Go to the places where the wind blows. Go off the coast of Hatteras. The wind's always blowing out there. You know, go where the wind blows. What's that got to do with this? Where does the wind blow? Where does the Holy Spirit move and work? How about church? How about the local church that Jesus established? He put together a very special entity, a people. It's a called out local assembly of Bible-believing Christians, saved saints, baptized, united in like faith and practice for the purpose of edifying the saints and doing the work of the ministry. That's a local church. That's where the Holy Spirit takes people, gives them gifts, all kinds of gifts, and empowers them so they can work together, even though they're very different, different parts of the body, and they all function together to accomplish a goal. That's what church is. That's where the Holy Spirit is empowered to work. Is he at home with you? Absolutely, absolutely. But it's very, very clear through the scriptures that he chooses to work through this entity called church. Now, church is hard. One, there's a great enemy that's against us that's constantly trying to destroy it, but we're 2,000 plus years since it was first established, and it's still going. All right? We are our own enemies as we refuse to see God's working in others around us and refuse to see that, oh, well, I'm a foot. What do I need with this hand? You need the hand because feet don't feed you very well. And so you need every part of the body. It's very, very important. And if we're not using the entire body, then we're falling short of accomplishing what God wants us to do. We had a whole series on the spiritual gifts earlier this year and then last year. So, but that's the Holy Spirit moves and works in the local church. And so if you need the power of the, if you need wind in your sails, go where the Holy Spirit is working. Does that not make sense? Okay, so how does he work? Well, he leads us and guides us. Through what? Through the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who moved in the holy men of God, and they wrote down the scriptures so that we could understand, to have them as a permanent, perfect word of God. It leads and guides us. So the Holy Spirit works through teaching us. He leads and guides through his word. He leads and guides through the preaching of the word. He's empowers us by getting together and singing songs that proclaim the name of Jesus and exalts Jesus, shares the gospel. He empowers us when we're talking one with another, when we're exhorting one another while it's called today. You know, church is extremely important. Yes, you can start off by looking at Hebrews 10, right? And Hebrews 10 is very important for you to understand because it flat out commands us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. Okay? So number one, there's just a flat out command. And some people function very well. Oh, God said it, I'll do it. Well, everyone doesn't seem to be motivated by commands for some reason. Well, there is yet more, and God says, number one, you're commanded. Number two, do you realize what's going on? Do you understand what happens in church? It's not just, I mean, we all know this building is not church, right? It's just a place for us to assemble. The people who, the members who come to Christ, united in like faith and practice, that's the church. That's the local church. There's this church, there's that church, and this church. There are many churches, all right? But there's not one universal church. You know, universal church is not assembled, all right? So you have a local assembly. And so in the church is where we learn about spiritual gifts. We learn how to work with one another. We learn how to we are motivated to share the gospel. We're encouraged. We hear the message, and then we say, wow, I got to get out and tell somebody. And so then we're empowered to go out and do the work. And then we band together in groups, and we go out and do the work. But a church is where the Holy Spirit is working and moving. There are places that call themselves churches, and there's no wind. There's no Holy Spirit moving and working. It's dead. Stay away. Find some place where the Holy Spirit is moving and working. You need to be where the Holy Spirit's moving and working. Keep our relationship with Jesus Christ going, remember? Because apart from our relationship with the Lord Jesus, apart from our focus on our Savior, our Redeemer, then the Holy Spirit is not free to work. And so anything that is a hindrance to our relationship with Jesus is a hindrance to the Holy Spirit working. You come back to church. That's where we keep our relationship with Christ solid. We keep our relationships with one another solid. We practice the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. You know, the Lord's Supper, a cleansing. It's keeping us pure as a body. So there's many reasons why you need to be in church. And so in light of the doldrums, if you feel caught in life's doldrums, go to church. I recognize that obviously y'all are here, who are sitting here, and I'm very glad you're here. There are folks out there watching. There are some that are physically hindered. For whatever reason, God's given them a period of time where they've got to deal with some health issues before they can come back in. Well, we pray for them that God will restore them and they can bring them back with us quickly. So all this can be true, and we can help them, and they can help us, and we can serve together as a body. When part of the body's missing, well, we're handicapped. You know, if you break your arm and you got to put it in a sling, it becomes a handicap, and now you've got to work around it. Can you still survive? Yeah, but it's not the same because you're missing a pretty important member. Some members are harder to do without than others, so it's important to have all present. Okay, some aren't here for various reasons. You know why you're not here. Some distance, I get it. You're watching through live stream again. You're halfway around the world. I got it. But you need a local church where you are, and you still need a local church wherever you are. But I think it's very, very important if you're in the doldrums that you get into church. Yes, you should get it first thing. Get up and get in the Word of God. Well, what's He going to motivate you to do? Be around believers. Be around the church. Get back into work. And so as we do that, I think we can see ourselves escape from the doldrums of life. The Holy Spirit is pictured as a wind, and if you think of the Holy Spirit as being wind in your sails, then that's what's going to get you out of the doldrums. Wind in your sails. Father, I thank you so much for teaching us from your word. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for leading us and guiding us and directing us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us and empowers us and directs us, encourages us, comforts us. Lord, you know that we get caught in the doldrums of life. Lord, we don't want to be there. It's dangerous, and you don't direct us to be there. Lord, there's a place for resting, but that's not the same thing. And Lord, I just pray that you would deliver us. Lord, if there's someone here today that's caught in the doldrums, I pray that you'd just move in their hearts, Lord, that they'd be motivated to spend time in your word, restore the relationship with you, and restore relationship with others, and restore relationship with the local church. And so, Father, I just ask that you would move and work and convict our hearts of things that we need to know today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.